Good to see you today. Again, as I said, we're glad that we have this chance to be together. If you're visiting, we welcome you. We're grateful that you're among us. We invite everybody to get a Bible and join us as we study from God's Word today. It's our study is not new material. It's not some unique message that we've never heard before or thought of before. In fact, Aaron's comments at the table quite well introduced some of the thoughts that we'll be having in this very lesson, because we want to talk about the value of every soul. And as Tanner read for us from Luke, the 15th chapter, the compassion of God is taught through the parable, and also the value of every soul is taught there within a context where there were some people who were complaining that Jesus was spending time with a certain group of people that they viewed as vile and defiled and unworthy of the time and attention that one who would consider himself a prophet of God would be receiving unto himself. And so Jesus takes, in fact, Luke records all of this 15th chapter. Luke records three parables that emphasize the point of our title this morning, that every soul is valuable and that God's mercy is extended to all, and that our response to that mercy is crucial and critical as to whether or not we will in fact have that mercy. If you're not a Christian, you need to know this morning that God's mercy is available, that God is able and willing and anxious to forgive sins, your sins, my sins, and of the whole world. If you're not a Christian, you're still lost in your sin. And the message of the gospel is to recognize, to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and to repent of sins against God, to confess that Jesus is the Christ, and to be baptized for the remission of sins through the blood of Christ because of that life that He sacrificed on the cross, so that you can then live with a new life as you sacrifice yourself in service to Him. So we hope that if that's your need, you'll respond to the call of the gospel at the end of our study this morning as we reflect upon the reality that every soul, your soul, is valuable. It is more valuable, in fact, than the whole world. Jesus reminds us of that to keep things in perspective when He said, What shall a man be profited? When all said and done, take the richest man on the globe at this moment, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, go down the list. What shall a man be profited if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What shall a man be profited? What will a man give in exchange for his life? We give up our life for far less than what those people possess. Too often, for far, far less, life is given up. We want to talk about life this morning. We want to talk about the soul. The word soul is an interesting word because it's applied in a wide range of thought. Sometimes soul means life itself. Matthew 2:20, the child's life. Talking about when the child Jesus, Herod was going to seek the child's life. And so Joseph is instructed to go to Egypt. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the word soul is used as distinguishable from the spirit and the body. There's a distinction, but it's the same word that's used there, psuche, the Greek word. But it's God's Word is able, the closeness of soul and spirit is something that God's Word can cut through, Hebrews 4:12, to the dividing of soul and spirit. So there's a distinction at times when we talk about soul, when we talk about spirit. We talk about the life itself, and sometimes we talk about the spirit that dwells within the body. And then sometimes the word soul is used of that non-material part of us that's invisible.
Fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell, Hebrews 10:28. So there, soul is more akin to the concept of the immortal spirit. So there's a wide range of application with this one word. And to try to make it just mean one thing in every place, obviously, would be a perverting of many scriptures and not a correct way to interpret and understand the Word of God. As we talk about the soul, then we want to use it as we're able in the way the Scripture describes it. When Jesus says, "What shall a man be profited if he gains the whole world and loses his life or loses his soul?" It is this really the value of our life, human life, is seen by the value of the soul and vice versa. You know that 2 days ago was the National Sanctity of Human Life Day, proclaimed by the president before the new president took office. He said in that proclamation, it said, "Every human life is a gift to the world, whether born or unborn, young or old, healthy or sick, every person is made in the holy image of God." Now we believe that, and we'll come back to that because the Bible teaches us that. But you see, many, many people reject that concept today. They reject that every human life is a gift from God. That it deserves to be recognized, born or unborn, sick as well as healthy, old and young. The COVID pandemic has really brought an emphasis upon the value of life. And obviously life is precious. Life is important. And yet there's a life that exists that far out exceeds this physical life. And if we are so consumed with physical health and physical life that we forget our spiritual life, then what have we gained? What have we profited? You see, the gospel shows us the value of every soul because it offers eternal life. The gospel is more than having health in the body. The gospel doesn't affect health in the body. The body can be lame and crippled and diseased, and the gospel can give that same person with that body eternal life. But we get so focused on health. And I know it's a burden when we're not in good health. It's a burden. It's a trial. We discussed that and prayed about that today and every day. But let's not lose sight of the eternal life. Because you see, if our only focus is the here and now and this body's life, it's going to fail. We're on a course for death. Young person, do you know that? Do you realize that? The older you get, the mortality begins to set in. You begin to realize you're not going to live forever. But life can be gone in a moment. How precious is life? To a lot of people, it's not precious at all. Riot, mayhem, shootings, killings, it's not precious. Well, it is to God. But you see, there's a life even more precious than that. And it's the life that Jesus brings through His death. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him should not perish. Did He mean we never die in the flesh? No, He's not talking about that perishing. But that we would not see eternal corruption, but have eternal life. Yes, every soul is valuable. It's valuable because we live on this earth that God created. But it's valuable for so much more than that. The value of the world, of the soul compels us to take care of our soul. In Luke 12, 20 and 21, you know, in teaching a lesson against covetousness, he tells about the parable of the rich man, and he comes up to the point where the man says, "Take your ease. Hey, you got it made. You got your barns. You tear them down, build bigger. Take your ease, eat, drink, be merry." And God said, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Your life is going to be taken from this earth, but you're not going to cease to exist. Then whose will these things be that you provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." We need to be rich toward God because our life will be taken from this earth one way or the other. One way or the other. So we have to prepare and take care of our soul that goes beyond this life into eternity. That puts value on the soul. Do you know, not only on our own soul, but it helps us think about how to help take care of the souls of others. We don't live on an island to ourselves. This, one of the insidious things about this pandemic and these lockdowns and is the separations that it has pushed upon us. Now, I understand there's health reasons and all that, but we begin to be conditioned to think that we are in all this by ourselves and on our own, and we're not. We need the relationships of life. God created us for them. And in the church, we need this togetherness as the body of Christ, as members of His body. And you know, when we value the soul, it's not just about valuing our own soul, it's about valuing the souls of others in the choices and decisions that we make and how we affect others. 1 Corinthians 8, verses 11, 10 through 12, but I tell you, let's just go to Romans 14, 15. Both of these speak to the same point. Romans 14, I just want you to see the point here. He's talking about issues that are liberties. Here, eat meat, don't eat meat. Observe a day, don't deserve a day. You can do it or not do it. There's not sin either direction. But he says, yet if your brother is grieved because of your food. Now, the point is, you're drawing him into violating his conscience. That's what 1 Corinthians 8 talks about in some detail. You're no longer walking in love. How you walk in your liberty affects whether or not you're loving someone else. It's going to affect the soul of another. It can lead them to sin, 1 Corinthians 8 says. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. You affect the other person. I affect you. You affect me. So, rather than just giving that lip service, let's remember why that's so. It's because the soul is valuable. That in our affecting each other, we are impacting each other's souls for eternity. We'll look at four areas that give value to the soul here very briefly. We've already noted these two scriptures, both in the scripture reading and in the introduction. The value of every soul is understood, first of all, because every soul is created in the image of God. Genesis 1, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." And so when God formed Adam from the dust of the ground, He breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul, a living being. Genesis 2 and verse 7. But you see, there's an aspect of our life that distinguishes us from all other life. And that is, we're in God's image. We have intellect. We can think and reason. We have emotion. We feel things. Emotion. We don't work on instinct. We make choices. Free will is at work. We have a conscience, a moral conscience, a moral capability. And accountability. All these things distinguish us as being like God. And having dominion over the animals, the birds, the fish, and this world that God created. Jesus comes now and He gives life to the soul. But more than just this life that was breathed into Adam that we all share, but Jesus comes offering another kind of life. In John chapter 5 and verse 21, Jesus said, "As the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom He will." Now, He's going to give life from the dead. There's resurrection of this body and this life. But continue on with me. Verse 24. Because now you're going to start talking about a different kind of life than just the life here in our body. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life." Does he mean that we'll never die in the flesh? No, now he's talking about a different kind of life, isn't he? A different kind of existence. "And shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." The death here is spiritual death, and the life here is spiritual life. "Most surely I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead..." What dead? That's spiritually dead. "Will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." He's not talking about general resurrection there. He's talking about spiritual death and coming to spiritual life. And how's that happen? Well, we hear the voice of the Son of God. That's how it happens. In John 6, there's extensive discussion. Just point some of these verses. Jesus said, "The bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Well, now, wait a minute. Jesus just fed the 5,000 the day before. They were alive, and He gave them bread that kept their physical life going. God gives us a lot of food every day that keeps our physical life going. But Jesus came to give us something more than that. He came to give us life that is eternal in nature. And we got to eat that bread. "Lord, give us this bread always. Lord, give us this bread that's going to give us life forevermore." Do you really want it? Do you want to live forever? It's going to take more than a meal at noon. What's it going to take? Well, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst." Do you believe in Jesus? No, I mean really believe in Jesus. Not just say, "Oh yeah, He suffered for me. He died on the cross." I mean really believe in Jesus. Believe in Him to such an extent that it's not you that live anymore, but it's Jesus who lives in you. Galatians 2:20. To crucify ourselves, to live. How are we going to do that? Jesus goes on to say in verse 48, "I am the bread of life." He says it again. "Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead." So Jesus is talking about a different kind of life, different kind of bread. "I'm the living bread," verse 51, "that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he'll live forever. And the bread which I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." We've got to eat of the flesh of Jesus that He gave for our spiritual life, for our eternal life, for a life that goes beyond this moment. And how do we do that? How do we eat that bread? He'll say, "Whoever eats my blood, eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life." Verse 54. Is He talking about the Lord's Supper? No, He's not talking about the Lord's Supper. No, He's talking about the death that He gives us as a sacrifice for our sin, as we just read in verse 51. He said, "I give my flesh. I give myself for the life of the world." We got to partake of His death. How do we do that? Well, He goes on to talk about hearing and believing and following His Word. How are you going to take the death of Jesus except you believe that He's the Son of God and you follow His Word? Look at verse 68. "Lord, You have the words of eternal life." You're the bread of life. I got to eat Your flesh and drink Your blood to have life. Peter said, "Well, Lord, Your words have eternal life." We're going to have to be nourished by His word of truth. So again, we say, do we really believe Jesus? Or do we just, do we believe Him to the extent that we'll listen to His word? We'll let His word feed us? We'll let His word guide us?
It'll be His Word that nourishes us. It'll be His Word that
sets our attitudes and sets our conduct. Why? Because our soul is valuable to God. Because
He created us in His likeness and sin separated us from Him. Jesus came from heaven to feed us so that with a bread that will give us eternal life, that will save us from those sins, that we might live with God forever because we are in His likeness. We are created to have fellowship with God. It's our sin that separated us. Our souls are valuable. God has shown that in everything He has done for us. And of course, that is the second chart. We're not going to spend a lot more time on this chart because we've made these points already. Jesus died for every soul. Every one of us. He died for the rich and for the poor.
He died for you regardless of the color of your skin. He died whether you have a home or you're homeless. He died for the homosexual. He died for the adulterer and the liar and the stealer and the thief and the He died for us all, whatever our sin is.
Satan's deceptive, isn't he? He wants us to value some souls more than other souls. He wants us to put class or gender or status of some sort, this or that, political alignments, so that we value some people more than others. We need to open our eyes and see what the devil's doing. You see, He died for sinners of every sort who are committing every sorts of sin, including you and me, because we've committed sins. And we've been dead in our sins. And it's only because of Jesus that we have life. Because our soul is valuable, and Jesus came to die for everybody. Everyone. He tasted of death for everyone, Hebrews 2 and verse 9. That gives a soul value. Third thing that gives a soul value is that it's immortal.
In 1 Corinthians 15, 53 and 54, when we say immortal, it will not cease to exist. That gives value to something. You know, antiques gain value for a variety of reasons, and I'm no expert on antiques, but I know one of the things is age. A lot of other factors. Not just because something's old. You find an old rusty nail and that doesn't have any value. But you know, the soul is valuable because it's not going to cease to exist. 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul, there in discussing resurrection from the dead, said this corruptible, that's our flesh and our body, our flesh and bones, must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. When this corruptible is put on incorruption and the mortal is put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that's written, death is swallowed up in victory. And he discusses at some length in that chapter the reality of resurrection from the dead for every soul. Not annihilation. It's not that if you lived a bad, wicked life, you'd just cease to exist and only the good people go to heaven. That's not what the Bible says. As in Adam, we've all had physical... We all will die physically. That's his point, 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 22. As in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be raised from the dead.
Talking about physical death, physical life there. Because not everybody's going to be saved. So he can't be talking about spiritual death and spiritual life there in verse 22. He's talking about physical death and physical life. Raised immortal.
Soul's valuable because of that. Because we're going to be raised to judgment.
Stand before the judgment seat of Christ. To give an answer for the life we've lived. Because we're in the likeness of God. We're morally accountable. So, you see, valuing our soul is more than just recognizing God gave it to us, but that we're going to answer for
it?
We're going to answer for the life He gave us. Did we live in His image? Did we take advantage of this blessing to live with Him or against Him? The judgment is either of eternal death or eternal life. And so that ought to persuade us to fear God, Jesus said. Fear Him who's able to destroy, that is, remove every good thing. Destroy soul and body in hell. Loss of well-being completely and forever. Every soul is immortal. Everyone. So when we think about the folks around us, in our sphere of life, in our circle, and then broadening those concentric circles farther and farther out from us, we may think we have nothing to do with those people that are rioting and burning or looting. We may think we have nothing to do with those people who advocate abortion. We have nothing to do with those people who live in immoralities, but we all share an immortal soul. Each of us have the same thing. Each of us are, in that respect, the same. And that we've all sinned. And that we're all in the image of God. And that Jesus died for us. Every soul's valuable. We need to get back to thinking that way. Living that way. Toward each other and toward the world. Because you see, here's the fourth thing that gives value to the soul. Heaven is ready to rejoice over the salvation of every sinner, even one sinner. Heaven is ready to rejoice. Not to give an excuse, not to lay blame, not to put guilt on, but to rejoice when a sinner repents. You see, the value there of the one coin, so that the woman rejoices and calls her friends and neighbors to rejoice. Ever lose something of value? Look frantically and feverishly to find it? Relieved when you did? Maybe you didn't always find it. God's looking. God's searching. God is willing to leave the 99 to find the one sinner who repents. Because the soul is valuable. And heaven is ready to rejoice over that one soul. Over the prodigal, who had a great inheritance and wasted it in sinful living, but came to himself and returned to his father. Because that depicts us. Every sinner who repents and goes back to God. And God is ready with mercy to forgive, to put the ring on our finger, put the robe around us, to rejoice in salvation. Every soul. Heaven wants to rejoice over the good moral person who needs to be saved and is only going to be saved through Jesus Christ. Because you see, Cornelius, that good man, needed to fear God and work righteousness. He needed to obey the commandment to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And when he and his house did, they were saved and heaven rejoiced. Heaven's ready to rejoice when a fallen Christian, one who's fallen away, repents, returns. And here's how we can help impact that, as we discussed before. You see, we don't just cast aside and forget. They had their chance. They used it up. It's all on them. I have nothing to do anymore with them. No, the Bible says, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, will that be me or you? Or will we say, no, that's all on them. Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way. Why would you try to turn a sinner from the error of his way? Because he has value. Because as an immortal soul, because Jesus died for him, because he's been made in the image of God, because heaven wants to rejoice, because he's lost and needs to be saved. He who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Every soul is valuable. Everyone. So take care of yourself. Take care of your soul.
Luke 12:19-21. We mentioned it at the beginning. We'll close with it. Luke 12:19. I'll say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You know, I wrote a little sword tip about this. It'll come out late tonight in the morning. Take your ease. Satan wants us to take our ease. Wants us to feel satisfied spiritually as well as materially. Wants us to consume ourselves with feeling I've got to be satisfied physically, materially, and forget about the spirit. Or to reach a place where we think we've arrived spiritually and I've done everything everything's good. I don't have to do anything else. I don't have to be anything else. I don't have to improve myself anymore. Take your ease. But God said, fool, this not your soul be required of you. And those things which you've provided, whose will they be? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.
Take care of your soul. And do what you can to help care for the souls of others.
Your children, your parents, your grandparents, your neighbors, your brothers, your sisters, your fellow Christians and those who are lost. We have great opportunities. It's as we continue to value every soul, ours and others, that then we will maintain the perspective that God has always had. That we're in His image. And that His longing desire is that we live with Him throughout eternity. If you're lost in your sin, that begins through faith to repent and to be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, to have newness of life, raised from the water, a spiritual death of sin when you're baptized. If you're a Christian, there's sin that's separated you from the life that you have with God. Repent and return. God is merciful, ready to forgive and rejoice. We want to help you while we stand and sing. Won't you come?